Morning.
As you can see, we're on lesson 10 this morning, and I really like this lesson. As I was studying this week, and the more I got involved into it, I really enjoyed preparing this lesson. What do we want to do to talk about this morning is I want to talk about three events that happen at Jesus' feet. Men, listen up, because it's a lesson we can learn from the women. Because there's three women who were at Jesus' feet that had a huge, should have a huge impact on us. So what I want to do is this time this morning is talk about those three events. Now in Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50, it talks about a sinful woman. And we know this, a lot of us know this story, is the woman who washed Jesus' feet with perfume and her hair and her tears. But I want us to really look at that, what drove her for just a couple minutes this morning for her to do that. So her story is the first story that I want to go over this morning. Remember, this is a sinful woman. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she bought a jar of perfume. This perfume, it says, if you read other parts of the scriptures, it says this was almost cost her a year's worth of wages. But she went and bought that for this purpose, to wash Jesus' feet. And let's read on a little bit further. And as she stood behind him at this feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissing them and pouring perfume on them. Now, this story is talking about a sinful woman. I tell you probably the background of this woman. She was known by the town, probably for whatever she was doing wrong, that the town knew her. But when she heard that Jesus was coming, she prepared in a way like no other. In a way that she was so remorseful that she was bowed down behind Jesus. And can you imagine crying that much that you were able to wash the feet of Jesus? And now this is a custom that was done when people traveled in. You wash the feet of those who traveled. But there's something more here. This woman realized how important those feet were. That Jesus was traveling from town to town to town, and she needed to take care of those feet because she knew who Jesus was. She knew the importance of his message that it brought and it moved her in a way that brought her to so much tears that she was able to actually wash Jesus' feet. That shows true remorse for her sins. She didn't care what other people were thinking. She probably knew that when she went in that room, everybody was saying, that's her. She knew that. She didn't care. She was going to take the time to demonstrate her love towards Jesus in a remorseful way that she used her hair and poured that perfume on his feet to wash it. She was bound and determined to show what Jesus needed at that point. I don't think anybody else in that room gasped the importance of that moment. I don't think anybody else recognized Jesus like she recognized Jesus. She knew that Jesus was going to leave that town and continue on. And the most important part of that body was the feet to make sure that message got out. We don't know what was said about her or what happened to her after that moment, but we do know what happened in that moment. And I'm telling you that I can imagine her walking out the door with so much relief, and the weight off of her shoulders. Because she knew she was a sinner. She knew what she had done. And probably most of the town knew what she has done. But I guarantee you when she left, all that was gone. The people in the room saw it in a different way. They said, hey, they went to Jesus and say, why has she spent all that money on that perfume to wash your feet? Couldn't she have gave it to put it in the contribution? The Pharisees and the people in that room were not thinking about Jesus. This puts the point is they were worried about their pockets. Because back then, that money that went in that was supposed to be for God, we know that wasn't used that way. So they were saying, why did he spend so much? She spent so much money. And I guarantee you, it was everything that she had, money-wise. What's she going to do about tomorrow when she got to eat and all that other stuff? Nobody kept, they didn't have a bank account where they kept their savings, where they could build up years and years of savings to live off of. She probably took every bit of money that she had saved up and stuff and spent it on this perfume. But everybody else in that room was looking and saying, why would she do that? And he tells us, for her sins, which are many, that says a whole lot right there. There was something going on with that woman that is why I say that she was probably known by the town because her sins were many. And Jesus knew that they knew that. That's why he said it. Her sins were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Her sins are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love is little. Oh, there's a measurement there. You need to think about how you love people and how you treat people. It's all based off your forgiveness. That's an important part of your life. And this happened at Jesus' feet. The other one I want to talk about this morning, it's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. This is about Martha and Mary. A lot of us know this story, but I want to read it to you this morning. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried about and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. You know, it was custom to feed and take care of the people who visit in your house. So Martha was doing what she thought was best. She was preparing the food and preparing everything that needs to go. But Mary sat at the foot of Jesus. Martha got caught up, Wesley, as we were talking about this morning, in her day-to-day life. Martha got caught up to where she got so busy with what needed to be done throughout the day that Jesus was going to pass her by. Jesus was visiting, so if Martha's so tied up doing day-to-day life and day-to-day responsibilities, what she thought was, Jesus would have come and gone. And she would have never had that moment. And what Jesus was telling her about the two differences between her and Mary, everything in the world will take care of itself. But take the opportunities to spend with Jesus take the opportunity this week. We need to look at and spend time with Jesus, because the bills will be paid. You'll get to work. Dinner will be fixed. All that will still occur. But will Jesus pass you by this week? That's the question. You don't want on that day for Jesus to... I don't want on that day for Jesus to say, Brian, you got focus on your daily life and miss me as I walk by. Mary says, didn't worry about that. She knew the importance of Jesus and the message he had, that she was going to stop him during that day and listen to what Jesus had to say. We find ourselves in the same boat with our daily lives. We worry about everything else underneath the sun, what needs to be done and whatnot. It's all going to be taken care of. I like how it's put it in Psalms. Oh, I love this when I was doing my study and I found this verse when it related to this. And listen to it for 1 second. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only to do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. That's what Mary was doing. She was gazing on the beauty of the Lord and what he had to offer, and that's all she wanted it to be with, in the presence of the Lord. That was what she was concerned about and worried about the most, is being in the presence of the Lord. When I saw that verse, I just said, man, that just fits so well into that point. That's the mentality, that's the attitude that we need to have, is all I want to do is dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days. That's what our focus should be. And that was learned at the feet of Jesus. You know, we all know this verse. We kind of read through it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this is Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Basically, don't worry about anything else, because the Lord will take care of the rest. Don't get caught up in your daily lives and forget about the Lord and have that opportunity for him to pass you by. Focus on him on a daily basis. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 40, it says this, and Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. There's two things that we're expected to do in our life. It's love God and love each other. Everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else matters, because if I take care of those two things, if I focus on God's love and I focus on each other that are around me and making sure that we take care of one another, everything else will take care of itself. But we want to be like the Pharisees and worried about what somebody else is doing. Why in the world is it washing Jesus' feet with perfume? Why is Mary sitting there when I'm trying to do all the work? Focus on the main thing. And that's Jesus and how we do others. And everything else will take care of itself. So let's talk about a hard story here for a moment. We all know this, when this encounter where the adulterous woman was brought to Jesus. And we know that the town knew this adulterous woman and the things that she's done, because they went out and seek for her, because they said, Jesus is coming to town. Let's go test Jesus. Let's try him. So they go get this adulterous woman and they throw her at Jesus' feet and they say, we caught her in the act. What do? This poor woman is at Jesus' feet, probably embarrassed, scared, knowing what the outcome should be. and worried about that, and she's now at Jesus' feet and knowing who he is. And scared in this town trying to test Jesus on what to do. They literally caught this woman in the act. So tell me, she's not well known in the town. If they are known to be able to know where she's at, they'll go find her and bring her to Jesus. But the problem I have here, let's go back to what the Bible says, the Old Testament, what they're trying to follow, what's supposed to occur. Because this is how I know they were trying to test Jesus. Was in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 2:22, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who is sleeping with her and the woman must die. Leviticus 20, verse 10, if a man committed adultery with another man's wife, which is the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and adulteress must be put to death. Where's the man at? Because if they're truly following the law, the man would be right there at the foot of Jesus, just like that woman was. But they pulled that woman out of that situation and threw him at the feet of Jesus, expecting, all right, we're going to stone her. How did Jesus handle it? Jesus literally, when they did that, didn't get excited, didn't get upset, went to his knees and wrote something in the sand. I don't know what he wrote. I can only imagine. But, I studied this week. You know, these things, I can't tell you everything I found because we ain't got enough time in the day to be able to. I study this week. And I look at other events where Jesus was confronted with people and the Satan and everything else. How did he handle it? With Scripture. And this is what I imagine, that he wrote one of these Scriptures down to remind them, where's the man at? I don't know what he wrote down, but I looked back and studied how he handled conflicts. He did it with Scripture. So almost in my mind, seeing him writing this Scripture out in sand and all the men realizing how it is. And then what did he do? After he said that, or after he wrote that, he says this, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. You know what the problem was with this situation? It wasn't her. I'm sure that she had, just like woman at the well, had other people that she had a relationship with. And this town knew that they're connected to her in some form or fashion. And Jesus didn't get upset. He just showed them their shortfalls. So he told them, all right, the first one without sin, cast the first stone. Who was able to throw the stone in that crowd? Only one person. And that would be Jesus. And Jesus had all rights and authority to do so. To show no mercy on her and the man involved. Because he knew who he was. But how did Jesus handle that? He told that woman, who's left to condemn you, when they all started leaving. You know how it started out with the older men. They've been around the town long enough and they knew. The older men started walking away first. And then the younger men followed behind. The older men knew. They were wiser. Oh, he's got us. We truly understand. And then the younger men. But he said to her, he says, is there no one left? And then what did he say after that? Then I condemn you not either. He forgave the woman. Can you imagine that woman leaving that situation? How much relief there was that she was going to die that day. And out of the mercy and love of Jesus, she's able to walk free. You look at our situation that we live in our daily lives. That's what the Lord does for us. We have the ability to walk free because of Jesus' love and mercy that He gave to us. I want you to think of, consider a couple things, and these are found in your book when you have a chance to go over them. The way a sinner is treated, sinners disregarded. If I sin, I ain't worried about your sin because I'm more worried about me. So another sinner towards another sinner don't really recognize you because they know the situation they're in. The way of the law treated a sinner, by stoning a sinner. We're going to punish that sin. We're going to take that person out. The way Jesus treated a sinner throughout all of Scripture was forgiveness. Forgiveness. He didn't hold it back from anybody. What they did after that point, if they re-sinned, then that put them in a different boat. But he started out with forgiveness. And that's what we need to learn. You know, this was read earlier, and I love the verse for us to keep close to us. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, God's chosen people, who are a holy people and who He dearly loves. See that love story that Jesus has for us? Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what we're supposed to put on. Because you take those different stories, Jesus knew all three women's situation. He could have rebuked them. The sinner who washed Jesus' feet. Martha for not recognizing that God was in their presence. An adultery woman. He could have rebuked them. But he clothed himself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Remember, our journey is to be more like Jesus. And that's what we need to learn from these lessons as we go through. As we read on, bearing with each other with what? And forgiving one another. Bearing with each other and forgiving. I love that picture of that little girl walking that boy down the road. Because that's what we should do for one another and those who are out there. If you do that somebody who's struggling in sin, you do that with somebody who's struggling with difficulties in their life, and you put their arms around them and clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, you can make a difference. You can impact those people's lives. That's how we fill up this church, is the way we treat those out there. And we bear with each other and forgive one another. Remember, it's not, we don't always get caught up in their sins and hang and do what they're doing, but we're not the judge. It's not our judge to condemn. We do these things, God will take care of the rest. So often as Christians, we want to sit there and tell people how it is. We're condemning them before they even get started. Where we stand with that individual. They already know where we stand. We've already condemned them. But when we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, and this is the hard one, humility, gentleness, and this is another hard one, patience. We've already talked about if somebody doesn't accept God, we wipe our sins off our feet and move on. We gave them all of this and they returned it and rejected it. It's not our responsibility anymore. We planted the seed. We move on to somebody else that we can make a difference with this. Because not everybody's going to accept you and accept your word. But that shouldn't handle how you react. You shouldn't get mad or upset. You realize the situation and you move on. But you handle everything with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's where you're going to make the difference. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor and slander be put away. From you alone, with all mercy, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgives you. You know, we were talking about it this morning. We were talking about Peter. And realize, and I say, I'm a lot like Peter at that point in his life with Christ. Sometimes I have boldness, and I say, hey, yes, I'm good, and I'm doing great, and I'm doing everything I need to be doing, and I want to stand tall and stand proud, but there's sometimes that I'm sinking in the ocean, and I have to cry out to Jesus because I sinned and I've fallen short. And I look at my life, and I say, why me? Why me? Does He save me? It's because of that love story, that mercy and grace that He has for me. And to realize that if that Lord, knowing me, forgives me, how can I not forgive somebody else? Lord knows that I stumbled and fall this week and I keep doing it and I'm trying to get back on the right track and trying to do the right thing. If He knows that about me and accepts me, how can I not forgive somebody else? It's all on how we love one another and love God's children who are out there. That's what we need to recognize, that we are God's children, but they are too. They're falling away from God, but they're God's children. Remember, while we were yet sinners, just like Jerry was talking about this morning, while we were yet sinners, He had our name on His mind. We need to remember that. We want to fill this church up? We'll fill it up as much as the Lord wants it full. Because the world is getting worse and worse all the time. Things are bad, they're going to get worse, but the victory's won. We just need to do our part and handle it the right way. If we have 100 or 2, we just need to keep doing what we need to be doing. And God will take care of the rest. I don't know where you're at in your life and what struggles you have and what you're going through. I know where I'm at. And I know I need more work. I say I'm like Peter, but I ain't walking on water yet. I'm not even going to try because I can't swim. Because I'll be like Peter, and what you say was, how many feet down? 25 feet down. That's above my head. And I realize that. But I know I'm a Christian in progress. So no matter where you're at in life, we talked about it this morning, Christ is sitting right outside the door waiting on you to help you, to have that relationship with you, to be closer to you. All you got to do is open the door. No matter where you're at in life, we got Jerry and Wesley here who will pray over you. We got the whole congregation that will pray over you. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you ain't got to face this alone. God put all the things in place to make you successful through whatever you're going through. But you just got to give Him the opportunity. And realize you're not alone, because I'm a sinner too. Me sitting up here preaching God's word is not my word, it's God's word. If this is coming from Him, not me. I'm a sinner just like you. And I hope and pray that you pray for me as well. But you're not by yourself. None of the struggles you go through, you have to. And God's got this. You just got to let Him handle it. So whatever we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.